Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Statewide, nationwide, welcome in to another episode of Line to Gain on the Buffalo Rumblings Network. No, we're not trying to confuse anybody. As you know, we're going through a rebrand. As Sarah and myself decided to do this thing, just the two of us. So the new name will be Line to Gain. We're trying out some of the new background stuff, some new graphics that Sarah put together. Man, you're multi-talented, Sarah. I'm telling you.
Thanks.
You can do it all.
Can you make sauce? Jack of all trade.
Can you make sauce?
Yes, I'm Italian.
Okay, well, I mean, right. Okay. Well, we're this is all right.
Jack of all trades, master of none. Is that what the saying is?
Yeah, that's what they say, but I tend to not believe that. I appreciate all the work you're putting into all this stuff. I know that it can be tedious, but I appreciate it. And we appreciate you for tuning into another episode of the Line to Gain here on the Buffalo Rumblings Network, as we're on Thursdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 Central, and we will be throughout the off season as we go into the actual upcoming season. And as Sarah just posted up, we have some interesting signings, and I can kind of dig into some of them, read a little bit of them, and then we can get into some of the particulars. But Kyle Allen, quarterback, has been signed by the Bills. Also, Dante Hardy, the wide receiver returner, which I'm going to ask you about, because that leaves some questions about what they did last year as far as training for Himes. But he signed a 2-year deal worth $13.5 million, $19.5 million a base salary, $5 million fully guaranteed. Connor McGovern, the offensive guard from the Dallas Cowboys, he signed a 3-year deal for $23 million. We'll get down into that signing in a little bit. As I watched him on All 22, I'll give you my breakdown of what I think of Connor. We signed our own again in Tyler McTavish. He re-signed a 2-year deal that voids after one. Milano restructured. He is now under contract through 2026. He was previously under contract through 2024. Sam Martin, our punter. I'm telling you, folks, it is really important to have a good punter in Buffalo. The wind, the weather is no joke. Chris Moore, we've had a lot of great punters in Buffalo. Sam Martin's another one. We re-signed him, 3-year contract worth $7.5 million with $4.115 million in guarantees. And the big one that everybody thought was not going to happen, especially that guy that just went ahead and posted on the comments. And by the way, if you want to get in on the show, you can post in the comments. You can also hit the like button and smash that subscribe button, as we'll be here, like I said, every Thursday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. But Jordan Poyer, Mr. Poyer, All-Pro, he signs a 2-year deal, and he will be with the Bills. Terms have not been released. I'm waiting with bated breath to find out what that is, Sarah.
I am, too. I think that it's going to be beneficial for both. I think that it won't be as much as what everyone thought, but I think that we probably guaranteed him at least 1 year up front. It's probably fully guaranteed. It's kind of how I'm feeling. I don't know if that's the case. We'll find out. But, you know, it happens when so many of the safeties were coming off the board. I think there was 18 starting safeties in free agency this year. And, you know, as some started coming off the board, you kind of can tell that if your name wasn't Jesse Bates, you weren't getting paid what people thought you were getting paid. Yes. And, you know, I'm just really glad. I think that in the end, even if a team might have offered him a little bit more, I think playing with Hyde made a difference. And I'm glad he's coming back.
We have some other signings, you know, some other stuff on the Bills contract situation through free agency in this as they try to get under the cap and they're under the cap, try to stay under the cap. On the slide there on the screen, you can check out. We'll talk about some of those. But the thing, Sarah, that I really like what the Bills are doing, what Brandon Bean is doing, he's kind of doing what I talked about earlier, or at least last week when we did our show. He's kind of dipping into that vet thing a little bit, finding some vets that are good players, maybe not super, super high dollar guys, but guys that play a role that will fit well. And I think you have to almost look at this Jordan Poyer signing as kind of the same thing. That is a trend. That is a tone setter, excuse me, for the franchise, because when players across the league, veterans across the league, see Jordan Poyer, who had a chance to leave, stay in Buffalo, it says a lot for the culture. It says a lot for the team. I think others are going to come. We'll talk a little bit about the middle linebacker situation in a minute. I think that's a spot that can be filled with a veteran signing from somewhere. But I really like what Bean's doing with this this offseason so far.
Yeah, and after Bean's press conference today, he kind of made it sound like we weren't gonna address middle linebacker the way we all think that we are. He, you know, made comments that, you know, Bernard, Dotson, and Spector are all on the team and perfectly capable of taking and assuming that role. So it'll be interesting. He did clarify that Milano is definitely not moving into that role.
He's not a middle linebacker.
But there has been some discussions that, you know, because they were so similar in the way that they played, that, and he knew the defense, that maybe he could step into that role. So there was some discussions. Obviously it was asked at the press conference and he said absolutely not. You know, he's staying put. So we'll definitely see what we end up doing. I still would prefer we bring in a vet. I definitely feel more confident going into the season, having someone who has already started in that position before. But, you know, they when they drafted, you know, Bernard, I had a feeling that that's kind of what they were doing. They were drafting as a replacement for Edmonds because they probably knew that they weren't going to be able to afford his contract.
You know, and I like that. I like giving your guys that are on your roster a chance, but I also, you know, I know what Bean said in this press conference. Nobody also thought that Jordan Poyer would be here either, and he is.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought that, honestly, if we were going to sign one or the other, I really thought that it would have been Edmonds. I, you know, 100% thought that they would take, you know, the age into factor there. But honestly, I think that Jordan's more of that leader that we need, you know, knowing that we're losing Edmonds. So I'm glad that, you know, we have at least one if we couldn't have both.
And I agree, but I think that they could find, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know how they would get it done. I hope they can get it done. I mean, maybe it's something. I know there's been rumors out there. His name hasn't been mentioned very much over the last 36 to 48 hours. Bobby Wagner would fill that spot unbelievably. I like what he does, but you only bring Bobby Wagner in if you can get him with a contract that is good for the team. Obviously, he's a high-level vet. You know, he's getting up there. I think he's only got a few years left himself, but he still plays high-level football. I think he'd be a heck of an addition to that linebacker core. But, again, those are the types of signings. If you can't find one of those types of guys, then you stay with what you have on the roster. You believe in your scouting department, and you continue to develop your own. And then, you know, you fill in with these vet guys. I mean, like I said, I really believe that Bean – I know there's a lot of people that are up in arms that he hasn't made this – going out and made this splash trade or this splash signing, but you have to believe in your own. You have to believe in your scouting department. And I think he's doing a really good job of that.
Right. So we went out and we signed Connor McGovern, the guard from Dallas. Last year was the first year that he has ever started at left guard. Didn't really go so well, in my opinion, but he has a really good pass blocking grade. His run blocking grade is not as well as, you know, we would all hope for, considering we all talk about wanting to run the ball more. But his contract, you know, is not bad at all. $1.9 million this year, $2 million signing bonus. He has a workout bonus. His cap hit this year is only $4 million. And then next year, it's $5.8 million with the $2 million signing bonus prorated. And then, so his cap hits $7.9 million next year. 2025, it's $5.35 million, same, signing bonus, and then $1 million roster bonus. So we could get out of it after 2024, with a $4 million dead cap. So it's not as bad as, you know, some people initially were thinking. 2026 is a void year. So some people were saying he had a 4-year contract. It's not, it's really only a 3-year contract. So when we signed him, I said, perfect. Bates is going to move back over to the left guard side. McGovern's going to come in on the right guard side. We got Bates back where he should be and plays better on the left side. Obviously, we've heard that McGovern maybe not all that better, but he is, you know, he is slightly better statistically on the right, you know, on the right side. So perfect. And then today they have their press conference and he says the Bills see him on the left-hand side. So, you know, you told me that you were doing a lot of research and watching the All-22 on him. How do you feel? And did you notice anything, any difference in both sides, or did you go back far enough, or did you only go back to last year?
Well, I watched last year, and I think a big thing with Connor McGovern is it just shows the type of offensive lineman that the Bills are wanting to have. He's 6'5", about 315 pounds. This, for whatever reason, Brandon Bean is, I don't think he's a believer in the super. Put it to you this way: if Bean was the GM when I was playing, I don't know if I'd be a Bill, right? I don't think he's in the market for the big, huge, mauler type offensive lineman. I think he wants some tall, he wants some long, he wants him to be able to run. And when you look at Connor McGovern, he does that. He's a long lineman. He runs well. He's not a move people off the ball guy. He's not a take you from point A to point B guy. I would say he's probably more of a reach cutoff guy. He can, after 3 or 4 steps, wall off a defender. He does get up on the second level very well. He can block linebackers. But this is a guy that's not going to go in there and just go one-on-one with a 350-pounder and move him. That's not really what we run anyway. We're more of an outside zone stretch team. Well, I say that sometimes I wonder what we are as a team. We kind of really don't have a running preferred running attack. But I think he's fine. I mean, he's not a guy that is like I said, he's not a guy that's going to move people. But he's also not a guy that gets run over. I mean, he's got pretty good anchor ability in the pass pro. I didn't see him just get overwhelmed by anybody, not get run over. He's got good feet, good technique. If you watch him now, not a lot of two-hand punch stuff going on in football nowadays. It's all independent hands, your right or left hand at one time and doing things of that nature. So I think he's fine. I think he's a definite upgrade over Scaffold. I think he's a guy that can play either right guard, left guard, or center. And I think he'll be fine. I think you've got a guy that's a lot like his college teammate. He's a lot like Ryan Bates. They're very, very similar. My thing is, I don't, as a person that played when I was in Buffalo, 4 positions, okay, I played right tackle, right guard, center, and left guard. And at one point, multiple seasons, I played right guard and left guard in the same season. A pro offensive lineman should be able to play both sides of the ball. I had a conversation not too long ago. We did a show with Joe. And Reuben Brown was on, and Reuben talked about he was a left guard his entire time in Buffalo, went to Chicago and played on the right side. And while it felt really, really weird, after a short amount of time, he was able to handle you know, the different situations, or, you know, when I say different situations, the situations are the same. You're just leading with a different foot. You're leading with a different hand and things like that. McGovern will be fine on the left-hand side. I think what people need to realize is he really wasn't a full-blown every week starter. He was more of their swing guy on the inside. They had some injuries. They tried to play just Jason Peters. They even moved his name slips my mind, the longtime left tackle. They moved him inside for a little bit before they moved him over to the right side. They messed around with Tyler Smith. So they kind of had guys all over the place. McGovern wasn't a every-week dude, but I think he's going to be fine. I think he fits right into what the Bills want to do. And I think people need to realize this is going to be a group that's long. They can run. They're maybe not necessarily the most physical bunch, but they're going to be able to run what the Bills want to run on offense.
So still no run game.
Well, no. I mean, there's
not
run
making
game,
the holes.
But if you watch what they do, is they believe in the old stretch zone like the Denver Broncos of old. They want to move you by making you run. Yeah. And the backs are going to hang, then cut behind it. Or they're going to press the front side hole on the run. So it's just a different philosophy. It's not necessarily that they just can't pick guys up and move them. It's what they're trying to do in the passing game and the run game together that makes them want to run that more stretch or outside zone. I watched some plays where he trapped, very, very capable of trapping. He can run the trap lanes well. He can move. He brings a little bit of pop with him. I think he'll be a good starter for us. And I have a problem if he plays right or left. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just want Josh to have time and feel confident in his line. Because you can tell that towards the end of the season, he kind of lost that confidence. And, you know, he was running even when he didn't need to be running. Right. You know, to get out of the pocket. And that's my concern. I want him to be, you know, to feel confident in who's in front of him.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
So right now, Butker and Doyle coming back from injuries, we have Dawkins, McGovern, Morris, Bates, and Brown probably as our starting five. And then we have Butker, Doyle, and I believe Greg Mance is still on the team.
Right.
So we have 10 guys, and then I'm assuming we'll probably grab somebody in the draft. Still, I think we still need to, especially someone that's probably a guard / center, or maybe just a center. Right. Because, you know, Morris is getting up there especially with his concussions. We don't know what that's, you know, going to happen after this year. So, I still think we get somebody. Do you feel right now that, you know, if I asked you this last week, which I did, O-line is still the most important feature now, draft pick that we have, right? Or do you still feel like it just depends who's there at 27?
I think it depends on who's there at 27. I think the Connor McGovern signing is taking a little bit of the heat off of having to do it in the first round. I think that the Bills definitely have to draft at least two more linemen. They need another tackle and they need another inside guy. Or if you go ahead and draft a tackle that you think you can swing inside, that can play guard and tackle, then do that. I don't think that the veterans that are on this team will all still be here once the season starts. I think they have to definitely still upgrade there. But I think with McGovern signing and, you know, a 3-year deal, he's going to be here a little bit. You don't necessarily have to get that guy in the first round. And I believe, I listened to John Fina talk about it earlier in the week and some other things, there is no inside offensive lineman, I believe, that really has a high first round grade. Those types of guys are going to be found later in the draft, second round, third round, fourth round. There's a lot of guys. We talk about Steve Avila all the time from TCU, although I think body structure wise, he's probably not a guy that the Bills go after. Maybe they do. I don't know. But
I would have considered Osiris Torrance first round. So I would be interested to see why John doesn't think that he's a first round. I, bottom of the first round, but still first round pick.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he had made that comment on, I believe it was last night. He put a comment in on the, on the hump day show.
I saw the comment. I just don't know why.
Joe. Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, you talk to other people in the business, you talk to other guys. There's a lot of dudes out there that do a lot of research on O-line. You know, Joe Marino's one of those guys. And you know, there's just really not a lot of high round the inside linemen this year. You know, just kind of one of those years, but there are definitely some tackles.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the McGovern signing is good. I think it's taken a little bit of the heat off of having to go first round there, but you know, we'll see. I mean, I think Bean's doing a wonderful job.
All right. So our running back situation right now, Hines restructured. We kind of talked about that. We had a special edition earlier today at 12 about his restructure. He, you know, kind of went down in his salary and took basically the rest of it as now incentive base, which goes to show that either we're pulling a fast one on him and, you know, we're telling him he's going to get the opportunity to make that money back and then still not give him the ball or we're really going to try to make him more involved in the run game, considering he will not be our return specialist anymore, it appears. So, you know, I made the comment earlier that I think that he restructured because if we were to let him go, the running back market right now is kind of bad. I mean, there were some running backs that we really thought were going to make, you know, really good money that didn't. David Montgomery is, I think, the highest one, making about you know, a little over six. Miles Sanders got a more long-term deal, so it averages out around the same. But the Jamal Williams got $4 million a year, which was, you know, surprising to me because everyone, you know, thought that it would be more. I think with Jamal Williams, the guaranteed money is why we probably, you know, walked away from that if we were interested. But so Miles Sanders went to the Panthers, David Montgomery went to the Lions, Jamal Williams went to the Saints, and then James Robinson went to the Patriots. So those are the top four right now, which means that McKenzie's still on the board. I think it's kind of the same situation that's been, you know, lingering out there with Poyer. Probably not exactly what he thought. So what do you feel? Do you feel that the Bills should bring back Singletary, or do you think we should go into the season with, you know, Cook and Hines as our 1-2 and then draft somebody? How are you feeling at running back right now?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that they're doing the same thing with Singletary that they did with Poyer. I think they're letting them sit out there. They're going to say, okay, if you think that you can get more money elsewhere, go prove it to me that you can do it. Obviously Jordan Poyer's coming back, and I think they're doing the same thing with Singletary. I mean, you look at running back situation just in our own conference. You know, the Dolphins went out and re-signed all three of their guys. They brought back Gaskin, Mostert, and Wilson. All of them come back. So you're right.
All very low deals though, too.
Yes, yeah, so very low deals. The market is not there, and you're 100% correct. The market is not there as far as running back goes. I think what you have to look at too, and a kind of maybe an indication of that Hines is going to be more of a first, second, third down back, is that he did so much in the return game last year, but we went out and made it a point to sign a big time return guy in Dante Hardy, right?
Yeah.
So now it takes that pressure off. You don't necessarily want your number one return guy to be taking the beating of a running back that's going to go out and get 30, 40 plays a game if he gets that many. So I think that this is an indication that they're really going to give Hines an opportunity to be that first, second, third back in this offense, get him involved. He's going to have a whole preseason, a whole training camp,
right,
be able to learn the playbook and really go ahead and try to utilize him on offense. So I think they're pretty good right now. They'll probably draft somebody, I would imagine. I don't think it's going to be in the first round. I don't think it's going to be Bijan Robinson. If it is, it is. But I think we just have other things we need more than running back, especially with Singletary still sitting there, really not getting much interest from other teams.
Right. I think that one thing that Bean said today, though, that interests me, he said that he wanted – to keep the idea for running back open, and that he kind of wanted somebody who was different than the two running backs we already have on the roster. I feel like Singletary and Cook are very much a similar type of back. So I think that what he's saying is that we need a more physical big back for those, you know, for the short yardage and goal line situations, something that's completely a change of pace. So I'm thinking that, you know, we would probably draft somebody who fits that mold versus bring back Singletary, who is, you know, a small guy.
How many backs did they carry last year, Sarah? Do you remember?
Four if you want to consider Taiwan Jones.
So if you go ahead and you draft somebody, you keep four. If you get the chance to bring back Singletary at a low rate, there's your four. You know, I do believe they're going to pick somebody, and probably will be a physical type back. They don't have a go get it on third and short or fourth and short guy other than Josh Allen. So they probably do need that size there.
So right now we have currently still on our free agent. We have Shaq Lawson, Jordan Phillips, AJ Klein, David Questenberry, Greg Van Rotten, Bobby Hart, Justin Murray, Roger Saffold, Devin Singletary, Taiwan Jones, Dean Marlowe, Jaquan Johnson, Tommy Sweeney, Jameson Crowder, and Jake Kumerow. So we still have quite a few out there. I would love to re-sign Lawson and Phillips if we can. You know, I just feel like I know Phillips is I think we would wait, obviously. He's, you know, had the surgery and everything. So we would wait to make sure that he's healthy in order to do that. I joked earlier that, you know, everyone's favorite Buffalo Bill, Bobby Hart, will probably come back to the team, whether it's for, practice squad or not. But, you know, Taiwan Jones, you know, I'm going to get killed for this, but I think he's 34-ish. You know, I know he still performed really, you know, at a high level, but do you hold a whole roster spot? Or, you know, some of these guys that you drafted, are you expecting them to assume that, you know, that gunner role on special teams? So Dean Marlowe is another one that I would think would be interesting if we're not going to bring back Jaquan Johnson, you know, another guy who's a vet, you know, presence out there. We still don't know about Hamlin. He has one more doctor that he has to see before we know if he can come back. And they made a comment that Cam Lewis is a cornerback, you know, earlier this week. So I have a feeling that they aren't going to try that, you know, whole test again and moving him to safety unless it's absolutely needed, but hopefully we can remain healthy this year. Do you have anyone that you feel on that list that, you know, we really should be considering to bring back?
I my biggest thing is size on the inside of the defensive line. So, you know, that I really like Jordan Phillips. If Jordan Phillips doesn't come back, if he doesn't pass the physical, if they don't feel he's healthy enough, they've got to find a vet inside run stopper type guy. Calais Campbell is a guy that comes to mind. He's 36 years old. He's still above average at stopping the run and pushing the pocket. If he does want to play, I would make a run at him. But I definitely like Phillips inside. The other guys, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really didn't really analyze those guys as much. I'm just looking more at position. And, you know, I think that the one thing the Poyer signing did is it kind of calmed everything down, because I really was worried if you lose Poyer, then all of a sudden that secondary has a humongous hole in the middle of it. And with signing Poyer, that's really calmed things down, and it's allowed being in the front office to really kind of pick and choose. If you can bring Jordan Phillips back, okay. But the thing about Jordan is he has, over the last 3 to 5 years, as he gets older, been kind of injury prone, has had a big injury here and there. So if
Phillips,
you lose him,
you're
like,
talking about Jordan Phillips.
Yes, I'm okay, sorry, okay. Jordan Phillips.
No, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm sure I said the wrong name.
No, I don't think you said a last name. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want someone yelling at you.
and by the way, you did a wonderful job with your cap evaluation earlier this week on Twitter. You did a wonderful job of putting out scenarios. And I have to say that they worked, because a lot of people were they were motivated to comment on these. And we'll get into that in a second, as I want to just finish this point. But I would maybe make them, if we can't get Phillips, or you want to let him move on because of the injury situation, and you want to try to stand under cap, get a guy that can do it, Calais Campbell would be my guy to look at right now.
All right. Well, we'll go over the numbers pretty soon. But so we did sign Deontay Hardy. For those people who didn't Google it, Hardy is his new last name. It was Deontay Harris. So I automatically, when I heard, I didn't even think Hardy. I just thought Harris. So when I started seeing people write Hardy, I'm like, why are you writing Hardy? And then I realized, oh yeah, he changed. He took his stepfather's last name, and he decided to change his last name. So I reacted, and I yell at people all the time, make sure you wait for the contract details. And I didn't, and I reacted kind of the same way everyone did. And I felt good because even some beat reporters were like, what? So when the details came out, it's actually not bad at all. So in essence, it's about a $1.5 million upgrade from McKenzie if we do let go of McKenzie. So his contract is $2 million base. And then he has $1.375 million per year for his signing bonus. And he's got a little roster bonus and a workout bonus. His cap this year is 3.745. And next year it's 5.365. But we can cut him for 1.3 in dead cap at the end of the season if we wanted to. The 13.5 million that everyone's seeing, it's incentive based. So that he has an additional 2 million each season that he can make in additional incentives. And as I joked the other day, if he does that $2 million, which some of the requirements are crazy, if he gets to that $2 million, well, thank God, because that means he had an amazing season, and it definitely benefited the Buffalo Bills. So I think that the contract is very team friendly. It's kind of a prove it deal for him in order to stay on for another year. I don't think, and this is a conversation that a lot of people have been having, a lot of people have him as their new slot guy. I don't think that that's what he's been signed for. I believe he is going to be that gadget play guy. He's going to take on the role of McKenzie, what McKenzie is, not what they hoped McKenzie was going to be. And he's going to be our kick return specialist. So, you know, other than that, he's only going to be on the field every once in a while. I foresee. So I still think we need a slot guy. So when I look at the, like kind of the depth chart, and that's kind of what I've been looking at, I still see Davis as backing up the wide receiver two. I feel like we should have Stephon Diggs as wide receiver one. We go and get a wide receiver two. Gabe Davis is his second. Shakir is Diggs' second. And then we have the slot guy, and then pretty much Hardy would be the number two to the slot guy. So I kind of think that we still need two wide receivers out there. How do you feel?
No, I agree with you 100%. And I think that those receivers have to be slot type receivers. I think by the end of the year, it showed we were so lacking at the slot receiver position that we brought a guy off the retired heap that was in a tremendous and everyday struggle with the fan base just to try to get a red zone or a slot threat in Cole Beasley. We have to get better there. Who those guys are, I think one thing about the slot receiver position is there's a ton of those guys in the draft. I think there's a lot of smaller, fast slot type receivers in college football with the offenses that are being run. So I think they'll find good receivers to fill that role. We need a couple of slot type guys to me.
I just want to make sure that we still, if we're not going to get the big wide receiver type out, you know, that's out there, like, you know, a Judy, someone that's, you know, at least 6 foot and, you know, 200 to, you know, 220 would be my ideal. Someone that can fight for those, you know, for those 50-50 balls, and that has excellent route running. That is like my biggest thing, because right now we don't really have that other than Diggs. I feel like Diggs is the only one that can really run routes on the team.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, I think we have outside receivers. I don't think that's a – I mean, I think that showed at the, as the year went on, that's all we did was stretch the field. I think the biggest issue with – and you talked about earlier with our receiver production was we're trying to have guys run the slot that were not capable of running not the capable. Slot. So we turned into a – we turned into a four-vertical team pretty much all year long. It was a four-vertical team with a couple of different read routes and Josh throwing the ball as far as he can to the goalpost and seeing who can catch it at the pad. I mean, that's kind of what we – I mean, that's an oversimplification, but that's what we turned it into. I think the other thing we really need to do is get faster at receiver. This offseason, this free agent class is not a speedster-type class as far as receiver goes. Those guys are in the draft. Yeah. So I'd be surprised if we went out and signed a vet. I know there's always those – you know, there's those juicy names out there that everybody wants. You know, the Odell Beckhams,
there's
the
Adam,
Adam Thielen. You know, we just
that's a no for me.
You don't do it, right?
But honestly, when it comes to the free agents, I think four guys have been signed, and two of them went. Five guys have been signed that are name-worthy, and two of them went back to the Giants or went to the Giants. So they actually got two speed guys. You know, they signed Paris Campbell today, and then they re-signed Slayton. Those are both 4-4 guys, you know, sub 4-4 guys. So they're doing that, but there's not a lot of that out there this year. And then when I look to free agency, to be honest with you, most of them are older guys. I don't want and Adam Thielen at 32 years old. I'm sure he's a great, you know, wide receiver still, but I'm just not confident in what kind of production he can give us. And I feel like it's going to lead to, you know, a Crowder situation or a Beasley situation. Not old Beasley, this past year Beasley. So right. A couple of names that are still out there, you know, Jarvis Landry, but he's 30. N'Keal Harry, he's younger. Sammy Watson, Jameson Crowder, which we could bring back at 29. Mecole Hartman and Marquise Goodman. OBJ to me is the only free agent that is worthy of any kind of real contract discussion. That's a free agent, in my opinion. Moving forward, I really like a couple of the options to trade for. And you know, I joked with the Mafia Cast guys, on the show before us, they were talking about Cooper Kupp, and I'm like, that's a $20 million cap hit. You know, it's a $15 million a year plus a $5 million, roster bonus every year. We don't have $20 million and it's a 4-year contract. So trying to restructure that is not going to be easy. So we would be pushing that down to when he's 30, you know, 36 years old.
Well, if you're going to spend that kind of money, you might as well go out and get the one guy that fits in to your offense, which is Jacoby Myers. Go try to get him if you're going to spend that kind of money.
He already got signed by the Raiders.
I know he did. That's my point. I'm just saying that if you wanted to go out and spend that kind of money for a receiver, then you should have put it towards Myers. I mean, he signs a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Raiders. You know, 21 of it's guaranteed. But that's the kind of guy I would want if I'm going to go out and spend a ton of money. I mean, he's a guy that would fit, I think, right in with what the Bills are doing. Yeah. But I agree with you. I mean, it's you don't just go get names because they're names. I'm completely 1,000,000% against the OBJ deal. So what are you going to do? You're gonna wear Josh out in stereo now? You have Diggs in one ear and OBJ in the other?
Well, there would obviously have to be that, you know, that understanding that now you have two wide receiver ones out there.
Yeah, and you would wreck your team.
I don't think so. I think there's teams that that can accomplish it, and I think that if as long as we're winning, we would be fine. I don't think that OBJ is going to get $20 million a year to start. I think he's going to get a 1-year prove it deal first. But there might be a few teams that really feel like it's going to be a help. I just don't want to see him on the Chiefs, and that's where I feel like he's going to go.
I think another thing real quick before we get out of this discussion is this. I think people need to pay close attention. I mean, the Pegulas have money, yes. They're also having to throw a bunch of money into the stadium. I don't think the money is just free-flowing like people think it is. I mean, that's another reason why I think they're being really, really smart with who they sign and what they spend to sign them, because there's a lot of stuff going on in Orchard Park right now. Not just trying to get your roster ready for the 2003-04 season.
And a lot of people would say to that, well, there's the salary cap. Well, a lot of people don't understand that when you sign people and use that signing bonus, to guarantee money and to spread it out over years, even though the signing bonus is spread out over the term of the contract, you have to put that money in escrow. So that money is still coming out up front. So it ends up being a lot of money, a lot of cash off hand. So I can see where you're saying that as well. I do want to say that, you know, kind of looking at some trade candidates, the two trade candidates other than Hopkins, which everyone's been talking about, I would be intrigued with is Judy, obviously from Denver, talked about that a lot. He's got his fourth year and then the fifth year option. So he would have 2 years left on his contract at a reasonable rate. They're still saying maybe a late first, early second. I don't think I would pay that. I think that, you know, our second round, I wouldn't mind paying. But another one that intrigues me is Chase Claypool. He's got 1 year with Chicago. Chicago has, you know, more now. They have an embarrassment of riches right now at wide receiver. So I think that they're probably considering letting him go. They picked him up from Pittsburgh last year for a second rounder. I think that we could probably get him for like a third or fourth. It would be an interesting thing. I don't think he's ever had a quarterback who can, you know, really kind of tap into his potential. He's a big guy. And I feel like, you know, that's, you know, the wide receiver that I'm looking for right now, other than the slot. I want our number two to be that matchup nightmare for especially, you know, opposite of Diggs, because then you got, you know, you're talking their second best corner trying to cover, you know, a guy who's 6'4". In 230 or 220. So he intrigues me. The more I, you know, was doing some research on people who could potentially be on the trade block. So it's an intriguing thought. I would still like Judy over him, but either would be an option there. But go ahead.
One thing about the Judy deal is that I think Denver had to give up two first rounders to get in position to trade Jerry Judy. So I don't see them taking anything less than at least one, maybe two, one this year and one next year to get him because of what they gave up draft-wise to get him. It would be silly to me, especially considering the fact that they're in a massive acquisition phase right now. They've gone out and gotten big-time talent up front, proven offensive linemen. They're getting weapons after. They're trying to get better. I don't see them moving them. But if they do move him, you better get ready to pay a pretty steep price because of what they gave up to move up in the draft to get him in that spot.
All right. So I put out on Twitter and Facebook some, you know, a comment to send in some questions. So there are a couple questions. So I'm going, most of them are for you, but I have a couple here. So
awesome.
Yeah. So Keith from Facebook said, what do you feel is our biggest need this offseason in either free agency or the draft after our initial moves? So we already started to touch base on that. But if I had to say, you know, you don't know who's on the draft board, what do you still feel like is our biggest move or our biggest need?
I still really believe in this order right now after the McGovern signing. We need to find a weapon, a reliable slot receiver at the wideout spot. We need at least one, probably two. The other thing we need is we need to find more size and run stopping ability up the middle, whether it be defensive lineman, or we need to find that middle linebacker as well. Maybe he's on the roster, maybe not. And then I really would like to sign another veteran offensive lineman. Yeah. I think it would really, really help us. I mean, I believe it's Reisner is how you pronounce it. He from Denver, he's available. Would he fill a spot? I'd like to see that happen. So probably a slot receiver first, a run-stopping size type D lineman second, and another veteran offensive lineman third. Those would be my three spots.
Yeah. I think that one thing that people need to also consider is Brandon Bean could have been saying that he completely has faith in either Bernard, Spector, or Dotson assuming that role at middle linebacker, so people don't think we're going to select a middle linebacker first in the draft. You know, so there's there's always that, you know, right, smoke and mirrors.
Right.
And we have to be prepared for that because I didn't see anything from those three guys that makes me 100% confident in them leading our defense in that role.
But here's maybe the reason why, though, Sarah. They haven't had any time to play.
Of course, that's my point. But that's my point. Like, so now you're going to throw them, you know, I don't want to say our window's closing. Like, everyone's being – I don't think our window ever closes because we have Josh Allen as quarterback. But, you know, it does some of these players' windows are closing. I want Jordan Poyer. I want Micah Hyde. I want them to get their Super Bowl, you know, just as much as I want it for myself. So I can see us potentially, you know, spending early to get that, you know, middle linebacker if the person's there that they want and they really aren't as confident as they say they are. So I think that has to still be on the forefront of everybody's mind. And then, you know, I'm happy because I was picking safety in the second round every time I was looking at mocks. So we don't have to do that anymore. We still need to get a safety, but it'll be a little bit later on down the road. And I do think we need to probably get two wide receivers in this draft. I am not going to say that we're going to, you know, pick an offensive lineman early. Unless the right one ends up there. And then my last pitch is if we end up finding a defensive tackle that falls that,
right,
you know, we really want or, you know, could really use, I can totally foresee us picking them, knowing that we're either going to trade Oliver or that we're not going to re-sign him. So real that's quick, always an option there too.
Mr. Diggs on the comments asked about other offensive linemen that pique my interest. Donovan Smith's a guy that kind of piques my interest a little bit. He's an offensive tackle that was with the Buccaneers. He's played 8 seasons. He's super, super reliable. He fits the mold of the O-line of the Bills. He's not a mauler run blocker, but he is a pass blocking, kind of, that's his dynamic. He's very good at pass blocking. That's what we need with Josh Allen. You bring him in. Is he a guy that you use to push Brown to get Spencer Brown better? And if Brown falters with his health, you know, he can step in as well. Another guy that I really like, but he doesn't fit really the mold of the Bills, is Isaac Seumalo of the Eagles. He's got position flexibility. He can play both guards. He can even kick out the right tackle if you need him. But he's a huge, just a huge mauling type offensive lineman. I like that guy. I'm not sure that fits in with what we're trying to do in Buffalo, right, but those are two guys that I like a lot as well.
So Richard Greenwood just asked, who would be the best OT offensive tackle to draft in day 2? I honestly think it's DeJuan Jones. Some people had him in the first round, but I think that he'll probably go early in the second. But he is really big. He is massive. And some teams might feel like he might be a little too slow. Right. On the outside. So he could fall because of that. I think that, you know, he would be intriguing. He was he played at Ohio State, but I'll tell you what, at Senior Bowl, that guy was manhandling everybody. Right. So it would be intriguing.
Yeah, you can't coach size. I mean, you're either big or you're not. But if you're looking at, if you want to do some homework yourself, Richard, and everybody wants to do some homework themselves, go to the tackle and guard list and look for your guys that are about 6'4 to 6'6, and they're all about 310 pounds. And those are the guys that will probably be the ones the Bills are looking at, because that seems to be the body type that they like at that position. They like length, they like height, and they like guys that are better at running the wide zone as opposed to ISO blocking downhill stuff inside.
All right. So Johnny from Facebook said, how much cap space do we have now, and can we free up more? So right now we have approximately about 9 million. I was a little off earlier. I said a little over 10. So we have approximately 9, but you know, Bean did address the fact that it does not include our draft class and it doesn't include the money that we need to go into the season for, you know, injuries, practice squad, all that stuff. Someone asked earlier about practice squad. They didn't think that it affected the salary cap. My understanding is it didn't the year of COVID. But I can look into that a little bit more because I think that it does now. And usually it's around $3 million that they have to kind of set aside for practice squad players going into the season. But I'll look into that before, so don't quote me on it. But regarding, out of that $9 million, if you take about three for the draft class and about three to go into the season, we really only have about three left to play with right now. So someone asked earlier, I thought that it was $7 million that you needed for the draft class, you know, based on Sportrack and over the cap and everything else. That's the case. But in the off season, you only count the top 51 contracts. So the majority of those people fall off towards the end. So it doesn't affect the actual cap numbers. The ones that are going to affect it is going to be your first round, maybe your second round. Those are the only ones that are really going to hit our cap until the season starts. But then can we free up more space? And this is kind of what I posted the other day. I took off Diggs's restructure because it already happened. So these are pretty much, you know, what we can do. A lot of people get a little nervous about, you know, like White. We don't know if White's going to be White. Now, after Jordan Poirier's presser earlier today, I swear he had me like jumping up and down. I was like, can the season start tomorrow? Because the way he talks about those guys on defense, he just, you know, and how, you know, we have the best quarterback in the league, and his hype train is just crazy. And he had me going off. So according to him, White's going to be back and better than ever. So hopefully that happens. So I like to look more at the extensions, and then the trade option. Obviously I'm still on board with, trading Oliver. Get what you can, you know, God willing, we get a third round draft pick for him. And we get that $10.7 million. I think that's a big deal. McKenzie, I feel like, is all, you know, all the way out. And we probably will hear that tomorrow. He has $250,000 roster bonus due tomorrow. So if we don't want to pay it, he'll have to be cut before then. Granted, we could take him into, you know, the summer. If, you know, that was to happen, we would still owe him that $250,000. So his dead cap would go from $300,000 to the $550,000. So it would change how much he's worth to let go.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Everyone, please do not attack me on the Morris cut here. It was just showing that it's an option. Obviously, if, you know, Morris had decided to retire, you know, there's an option there. You know, or if the team goes out in the draft and they get somebody and they feel like he's a day one starter. I know it sounds crazy to say, but the team has done some crazy stuff, like OJ Howard last year. We signed him, everyone's excited, and then they cut him in the offseason. A post June 1st designation for him is $8.36 million. So it's a lot of money. Again, I don't think that it happens unless they feel like they need to do it, or they feel like they have someone to replace him. And as of right now, I don't think that that's the case. But I like a lot of the extensions. So, you know, you got Taron Johnson, we can extend for $4 million. You got Morse that we can extend instead of cut. Bates, 2.3 to extend him. Davis, I wouldn't extend until, you know, until we know what we're really dealing with there. But that runs the risk, because if you don't extend him now, he could be priced out. But Dawkins and Hyde are, I think, the two main ones right there. And even Taron Johnson, because, you know, he is definitely worth extending. So we can right there, there's $14 million by extending. And if we do Hyde for a year so that him and Poyer's deal kind of matches up, you know, it's great. The only thing with Dawkins, and the reason why I didn't originally have him on the extension list, is because, you know, he already is making a lot of money, and a lot of people have been upset with him towards the end of the season. They said that he kind of looked lazy and he was falling off. They said a lot of the same things about Spencer Brown as well. So I didn't think that, you know, people would agree with the extension option, because, you know, we just got him, but we just restructured him. So, but it's there, but we can restructure him again for 6.3, or we can extend him for 6. So the money's there if we need it.
Well, they're going to have to do something, because they still have a rookie salary pool to figure out also. So, yeah, I think that a lot of those moves make sense. Obviously, I think the biggest one right now that would make the most sense, if you could somehow, some way, find somebody to want Ed Oliver and get rid of that $10 million. He'd still count as a little bit of dead money, but you would get quite a bit back, and that would open some things up.
All right, and now we've got Michael from Twitter. Do you foresee any more big moves happening?
I don't think there's any home run moves, as far as, you know, we turn around and we're looking at your guy number 22 from the Tennessee Titans, you know, Derrick Henry. You know, I don't think we're gonna see anything like that. I don't think we're gonna see, you know, like I said, the Judy trade. I don't know if that happens, but
I think you should be on the phone with Tennessee and say, you know, let's do this mutual trade. You know, we joked about it earlier today, Oliver for Henry. It's pretty much a wash. Well, actually, I think we get about $200,000 extra. So
I did a little looking into his production, and his production is going down quite a bit from year to year.
But he would be our third down back.
Who pays that much money for a third down back? That's my thing. Who pays that kind of money for that kind of back?
If he's scoring all the touchdowns, I love it. I love it. And I'm not saying that he would be exclusively a third down back at all. I'm just saying he'd be more of the short yardage guy that, you know, you're going to give it to him and he's going to get 2-3 yards.
I'd rather go out and take a guy that we didn't block all season long, like Melvin Ingram, and bring him in and let him play defensive end, because we couldn't block him in games, and he'd be good for our offensive line in practice, and maybe we could figure out how to block him in practice. But that was my other thing, is do we go out and try to find a high-quality defensive end like an Ingram or somebody of that nature? And somebody brought up yesterday, I think it was Spence maybe brought up Jadeveon Clowney, but somebody to bring a little bit of the heat off of Rousseau, let Rousseau put his hand on the ground again and let them play that spot over there where Vaughn will play when he comes back from his injury. Yeah. So obviously he's not going to start the season.
And everyone keeps on saying that, you know, you have people saying that he's going to be ready for at the start of training camp. You have people saying, oh, well, if it's not training camp, it'll be the start of season. There is a good chance, especially at his age, that he is not going to be ready until the bye week or later, the bye week is.
Sarah, does everybody forget what they did with Tre'Davion White?
Well, Tre'Davious's injury was a little different than his injury, and that's what people are saying.
That's what I do for a living. I go into surgeries and we sell devices to fix those things. An ACL tear is an ACL tear. Now, if there's a meniscus with it or something of that nature, that can you know, slow things down. But the deal is that usually heals up in the 6 to 8 weeks that you're in a brace or whatever, waiting for the ACL to heal before you can do any PT. It's the same injury. And if anything, Vaughn's a bigger guy. So therefore it probably would take him a little longer to come back than Tre'Davious. So,
and it's his second ACL. I think it's a different leg, but it's his second injury. So I don't think that they're going to rush him back, especially, you know, he's our $17 million a year, you know, man. I don't think we're going to rush him back. So people need to understand that we're going to need an edge guy or even a defensive end guy, because there's times where he kind of, you know, lines up in that role, but, you know, Boogie Basham, he held his own to a certain extent, but we might want to go out and get a defensive end.
Look at Frank Clark. I mean, Frank Clark would be a guy that you can use in situational pass rush and is a guy that you could bring in and not let him play as many snaps as he did in Kansas City.
And maybe he would want to, you know, stick it to his old team. Exactly. I like it.
I mean, you know, have a chance to come back and play against the team that got rid of you. I mean, but yeah, I don't think that you're going to see, you know, Vaughn walk out there week one with a cape on ready to go play. It's just not that easy.
All right. So this is an easy one. I'll take this one because I don't know if you even know. So when does the schedule come out? Don from Facebook asked. Generally speaking, the international games usually come out the week after the draft. And then the regular season comes out to like the Wednesday, 2 weeks following the draft. You'll get the preseason's games usually the Wednesday prior to the day before the draft starts. So we still have a while. They're since COVID, they haven't been releasing them till May now. So it's usually the second Wednesday in May for anyone who is interested in seeing that. And they usually do it as a primetime special now. You know, usually at 8 o'clock, and they, you know, have everyone guessing all day long what the games are going to be. So, so that's that. The next question we're probably going to have to take next week because this will take me a little while to answer. So, it's asking me, can you explain contracts and signing bonuses and dead cap? How do restructures work and what's a void year?
And whoever sent that in, that'll be next week's topic on the Line to Game Show.
Because that will take me a little while to explain. And I don't know if you guys want to hear me talking that much. I'll show some examples that might help everyone else who's not as nerdy and everything with those situations as I am. And then another person, and we'll take these next week, but you can think about it so that you're prepared. Joe from Twitter asked, what's Jerry's favorite memory as a Buffalo Bill? So think that one over, and then... Casey from Facebook asked, Sarah, what made you decide to start a consecutive game streak? So we'll handle those next week. So if you guys are interested in our answers, come back.
And also anybody listening, same thing on Twitter, on Facebook. If you have a question, we'll do a question and answer segment every week. Probably. I kind of like doing that stuff. We can do some different things. Then again, I don't know. We might not have much time next week once Sarah starts talking about the cap and how it works.
I mean, that could
be. Do you mind if I bring a sandwich to the show? Because I'm probably going to sit back and turn my camera off and just have a snack.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd probably be easier.
Well, I won't get too technical, but I'll try to break it down so that people are actually interested in what it is. But yeah, it could probably take a while to explain it all, but I think it's interesting. And once you know how things work, it's kind of fun. Like when people are saying, "Oh, go out and get a Cooper Kupp," and then you look up his contract and you're like, right, "What in the world are you saying?" So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. So you want
to
take
a lot. It's a lot like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors with it. But I'll take us out. Yes. Hey, we appreciate you listening to the Line to Gain show here on the Buffalo Rumblings Network. As always, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. We're here every Thursday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, here on the Rumblings Networks. And as always, she is Sarah Larson. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. We'll be back with more Bills talk next week right here. And as always, one love, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.